Here we go. Let's go with the message. Rehab, we all could use some what? Fixing. Now, y'all got to help me. I think I got more energy than y'all do this morning. Let's try it. And I'm the guy that had the surgery. Here we go. One more time. Rehab, we all could use some. Now we're talking. Hey, Kevin, you want to cut me down just a smidgen? Not much, just a little bit. I can feel it already. Here we go. Let's go with the message, Raj. We've been on this little series called Rehab, and the thought came because that's what I am in right now. I am in rehab. Two times this week, a therapist worked me over. In the old days, we'd have called that a mugging. You know what I'm saying? Huh. Got beat up this week. Stretched, pulled, left for dead almost. Anyway, so that's why this series, we're doing rehab. We've hooked our wagon to the man Saul. Can you say that? Saul. Okay? A religious leader, a Jewish leader, very well educated, a hater of Christians. Okay? And so we've been looking at his life. First message was road trip. He was on the road to Damascus. Okay? He was a murderer. Jesus Christ came to him. He gave his heart to Jesus. He turned from his former ways and his past, and he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? He called Jesus Lord. That was his road trip. No one is beyond hope. No one is beyond hope. Can a murderer be saved? Yes. Anybody can be saved. God's not willing that any should perish. But it's up to you to make that decision. I can't call him Lord for you. Okay? You've got to call him Lord. That's your personal decision that you have to make. So, no one's beyond hope. Let's keep looking. Hang in here with me. Come on. So, road trip. Help me. Amen. Next message we did last week was 180. So, what did Saul do? When he hit that ground, what will you have me to do, Lord? He did a 180. Did he keep going to Damascus? Yes or no? Yes. Did he go a different person? Yes or no? Yes. Same city, going to the same place, going a different person. He had done a 180. Instead of thinking Jesus is a fraud, now Jesus is his Lord. Instead of going down and hunting Christians like a dog, he went to the synagogues and said, hello, people, I am now a Christian. And he became part of them. And he became the hunted instead of the hunter. Remember, they tried to hunt him down. He had to escape by the disciples putting him in a what? A basket. Good job. Here we go. 180. What is the 180? It ain't the hokey pokey. I've been around town all week this week and different people coming up going doing the hokey pokey with me. Amen? Here we go. It's not the hokey pokey. What do I mean? The 180 is not turning to Jesus and then turning back to yourself or to your old ways. That's the 360, man. We don't want that. That's the hokey pokey where you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. It ain't. Here we go. It's the okie dokie. The 180 is the okie dokie. Your way, Jesus, or the highway. I accept that. You are the way, and I'm getting on your way, and I'm getting away from doing things my way. I turn to you, Jesus. Yes. Amen? So that's what we saw last week. Now let's push it on further. Now what? Now what do we do? Where do I go? Okay, Clark, my life is a 180. I've turned it, you know, Jesus has turned me around. I'm following Jesus, but I'm still screwed up. Good. We're here to help you. Amen? Let's look at it. The Christians, can you say this with me? The Christians' battlefield is in the, that cauliflower looking thing right there. Amen? The mind. A lot of people think, oh, I've turned to Jesus, everything's going to get rosy, going to get better. That's what they teach you so much on Christian TV, which is bull half the time, excuse me. That's not the real world. Life still happens. It's still a mess. I still got problems. What am I going to do? Well, there's a battlefield. The mind. You can change. You can be different in the same body, living in the same house, believe it or not, going to the same city. You can be changed radically, and your head can change. And that's what we're going to talk about today. More people today go to psychologists or counselors for mental and emotional problems than any other time in our nation's history. That's not hard to believe, is it? Say, man, everybody you talk to screwed up. Got problems. That's the world we live in today. OK? Okay? A lot of that right here in this room. Issues right here. The battlefield has been and always will be, say it with me, in the... Now let me tell you something. I say a lot of times on this stage, hey, I'm no expert. I'm not trying to come off as somebody that is an expert. I'm going to tell you, I'm an expert at this. Of having a screwed up mind. I'm an expert. I am. Of worrying about stuff. Of rehashing things. Of playing it over and over. Of presuming. Of thinking something's going to happen ain't going to happen. Figuring out a worst case scenario and ain't even a worst case scenario. Oh, I'm excellent at it. Amen? How many know me well enough and you would agree with that? Thank you. Amen. That's me. But I'm making it. And if I'm making it, you can make it. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. So that means all of us have hope. Well, I'm telling you what. I'd put my crazy mind up against anybody in this room. So if I quit nodding your head. Yep. Here we go. Listen, I would. What does that tell you? You have hope. Amen? If God can help the preacher get through it and keep standing straight and keep plugging along, He can help you. So let's look at it from that angle today. We need help with our what? Mind. How many would just flat out agree with that? I mean, you just need some help in your head. Amen? Okay, good, good. All right. That's more than half, I'll tell you that. Come on, here we go. Today's rehab message is called this. Pop it up, Raj. Shrink. Are y'all all right? I still feel like you're sleepy. All right, you're all right. Come on, here we go. The message is called shrink. All right, where'd that word shrink come from? It actually, you know those people that used to shrink heads? I guess they're still doing it somewhere on our planet. They ought to quit that. Anyway. When psychologists started working with people's mind, they actually called them head shrinkers. That's true. You can Google this and find this out. Anyway, but it just became like, well, we don't want to be called that, right? We don't want to be associated with the people that actually shrink heads. So they took on the little name, just became a name, shrink. All right, we can handle shrink, but don't be calling them no head shrinkers. All right? So that's sort of where the word came from, shrink. It actually has to do with people dealing with your mind, dealing with your head. It's got a twofold meaning today in my message from the Word of God today, and that is, we're not just talking about getting some mind help from some doctor, even though we're going to get some of that today. But we're talking about you shrinking, me shrinking. And I'm not talking about the weight gain thing, lost thing, I'm talking about right here. How we think of ourselves. Does the Bible say that we ought not to think more highly of ourselves and stuff? Does the Bible talk like that, yes or no? Oh, yeah. Okay? So we're going to talk about that. Going to get us to shrink here in the room today. That's the plan by the time we get done. Let's go. The Apostle Paul, now that's his name. He was Saul. His name's been changed. By the way, your name's been changed. If you have done a 180, the Bible says you've been given what kind of name? Somebody tell me, what kind of name? A new name. And it's been written down where? Somebody tell me. In glory. It actually names the book that your name is in. Your name is written down. If you've done the 180, you put your faith in Christ, you've called Him Lord, He has written your name down. The name of the book is given in the Bible. It's called what? It's called the what? Lamb's Book of... Is your name in the book? If your name's in the book, you've got a new name written in that book. Come on, here we go. The Apostle Paul has a new name now. And he wrote 13 letters, we call it, or books in your Bible. When you open your Bible, those little books that you read, some are fatter than the other ones, bigger than the other ones. They're called letters. He wrote 13 of our books in our New Testament. Are you telling me a man who was a murderer? A killer of Christians? He persecuted people of the way? That God would use him to write half of the books in your New Testament? The answer is yes. you can be used of God too. Isn't it funny how we try to use our screwed up head tells us we're no good, we can't do nothing, God can't use us. You kidding me? He can use you. Let's keep looking. He probably says more. This is my studying. I think Paul says more about the mind in his 13 books than any other subject. This week, I didn't read every single word of every one of his books, but I read most of them, and I perused back and forth, up and down, left and right, and that's my opinion. That doesn't shock you, does it, say? Don't you think that the Bible is there in large part to help us with our crazy head? Say, we're messed up. So, that's the purpose of the Word of God, to help us, man. So, he wrote these letters from personal experience. You can't get a man who was so messed up like this man was. He was so anti-Jesus, anti this way, more than any other person, and God just turned him around. He started doing a 180, going a different direction, and he wrote these letters to us from personal experience, but he wrote them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He not only wrote them from personal experience, he wrote the words God wanted him to write so that you and I, centuries later, could get some help from it. Amen? And so that's what I've been doing in my office this week. I've been getting me some help. Paul's whole thinking about Jesus, God, and life were turned completely upside down. Look at it. Let's do it again, can we? Look at it. Come on. Everything turned upside down. Keep looking. Everything he had learned and established as core beliefs would now be challenged, and most of it would be changed. Can you imagine that? Everything that you believe is in your core is opposite of the way you should be going. No wonder he spent so much time writing about the mind. The change that this man had is a change you and I need to have. I tell you, maybe you've read this passage of Scripture before in Romans 7. You should. It's tough. It's a tough passage of Scripture. The wording is a little weird. This is written by Paul. This is written by the man who wrote 13 books in our New Testament. This man established more churches than anybody else. This man is responsible, under the inspiration and leadership of God, for bringing the church to people like you and me, Gentiles. Look what he said. For we know that the law is spiritual, Paul speaking, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that's what I'm doing. I'm a nut. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I thought when I got saved, I'm going to be perfect. I ain't going to have no more problems. No, that's not the way it's going to be. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I can't find out how to do it. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that's what I'm doing. Have I lost you this crazy scripture or what? I need to emphasize it or you won't get it. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members. It's warring against the law of my mind. Can you say that with me? It's warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Say it with me. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of... Did y'all get that? You ever said this? Oh, I can't believe he's a preacher and he went and done this and that. You ever said that? Say, I can't believe he was an apostle. He wrote 13 books in the Bible and he went and done this and that. Can you believe it? Say, we need to hush our mouth about somebody else doing this or that and get on the program with what's wrong with you. Amen? Won't you start? Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. We ought to be talking, I can't believe I did this or that. And then what you ought to be saying is, I can believe I did this or that. Because there's two things going on inside of me. I've got the Spirit of God. I did a 180. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's also the flesh. There's also, I'm in this body. And I'm still in this world. And there's still sin inside of me. And so now it's a battle. It's a battle. Who's going to win? And it's right here. Decisions. Amen? So let's get some help. Keep looking. Dr. Paul, that's who I want. Not this guy. Get him off of there. Get him off. I want Dr. Paul. I mean, I'm sure Dr. Phil's helped a lot of people, but with the help I need, he can't help me. I need Dr. Paul. Amen? The state of our mind. I took time this week and I looked at what Paul said about the mind, thoughts, thinking. I didn't get every verse. We'd be here forever. But I wrote a lot of them down. I sort of organized them for us today. Here we go. Here's our problem. Here's why we need this message. Here's why we need a shrink and why we need to shrink. Here's the problem. Our minds are warring. Look at the scripture. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. We got a war going on in our mind. That's what Paul said. Keep looking. We're going to be flying through here. Our minds are earthly. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, I now tell you weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind, say it with me, earthly things. So often, our head is screwed up because what are we thinking about? We're thinking about things on this earth. We're thinking about things that didn't have a thing to do many times with spiritual things. We have that kind of mindset that's going on in our head. Our minds are childish. Look at it. See there? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I, say it with me, thought as a child. We need help with our mind because our mind is childish. And how do I know that? Because I've been pastoring for about 25 years now. I'm going to tell you something. Some of the most childish minds I've ever seen are in the church of God. I love you guys. I know there's some issues here, I'm sure. But I'm telling you, people, are you telling me the arguments I've heard in my life, the most childish things, that they've actually wanted me to referee their fight? Are you lost your mind? Dumb things. Have you ever heard any church folk arguing over dumb things? Say, come on. Childish! Grow up! That's a problem. We have a childish mind. We're thinking as a child. But now we're grown. Keep looking. Our minds are vain, like his mind. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Here's a vain mind that would say, like Darwin said, you came from slime, you came from slop, you came from monkeys, when the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. That's a vain mind right there. You couldn't think of something better than I came from slime? Come on! How long did that take? You see what I'm saying? Vain! Our minds are vain. Have you ever just thought an absolutely stupid thought? It was so stupid. It was the stupidest thought you've ever had. It was maybe evil and stupid. It was the dumbest thought. And then somebody talked to you and they're the ones that showed you how stupid you were. Raise your hand. Thank you. Our mind will just take us places we don't need to go. Right? Come on. Help me here. Our minds are corrupt. That's money being passed under the table, by the way. Corrupt. The things our mind will do. To do a deal, to get a buck, to get ahead. Get what we want. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Our minds are blind. Look at His eyes. That's us so many times. Blind. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. This is Satan. Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. We have blind minds. You ever been blinded to something? Say, you shouldn't see it coming. Okay? Our minds are carnal. That guy is just, he's testing the waters. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You see what I'm saying? That's where so much of the church is. We wonder why our mind is a little screwy. Because we've got a carnal mind. We're trying to fence straddle. We're trying to just get in with you just a little Jesus. And you wonder why your life's a wreck. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. That's going to kill you right there. But to be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? Can you say that with me? We need... How many are feeling like that after that litany of things on the screen? Amen? That's just a few. See, that's what happens. That's what happens. I mean, we come to Christ. Lord! That's good. You've got to do that. And then we do the 180. Like we talked last week. And now we're going down this path. But here's the problem. All that mess that was on that screen is still right up here. How do I live? That's what Paul's talking about in Romans. Things I should do, I don't do. Things I shouldn't do, that's what I'm doing. Got it? So how do I do it? We need some what? Rehab. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Not Amy Winehouse. No, no, no. We need some rehab. Yes, yes, yes. I need help. Let's look at it. So what do we do, Dr. Paul? Get him off the screen. Here I go. What do we do, Dr. Paul? You did it. You said you were the chief of sinners. You were screwed up. I never killed anybody like you did. How'd you do it? I've discovered something as I read my Bible now, thinking this way this week and last week, couple three weeks. I look at his writings differently. I see the man who was messed up, and so much of what he was saying is personal experience. It's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But the point is that he wasn't trying to beat me over the head with this. He was trying to tell me, this is how I did it. This is how you're going to do it. If you want to deal with your crazy life. That just helped me this week. When you start to see the Bible as something that can help you, somebody's trying to help you instead of you being judged. Or you know what I'm saying? Are y'all listening to me or not? So that helped me this week and last week as I've been thinking. So let's get some help from this man. We need to drink. All right? That's the message. I'm ready. Come on. I'm worried about you still. Here we go. We need to shrink. All right? Dr. Paul's there, so we got us a good shrink. That's great. Let's listen to what he says. Here's what Paul is telling us. We need to shrink. Would y'all just help me two or three times? We need to. One more time. We need to. One more time. We need to. We need to shrink. Our world tells us we need more self-esteem. We need to build ourselves up. I don't think you should always be, you know, putting yourself down constantly. I don't necessarily agree with that for sure. But I also don't think the road to spiritual health in your life is building yourself up. Unless you're seeing who you are in Jesus. Amen? Oh, yeah. If you're seeing yourself as inside of Christ, that's great. But if it's just about you and your self-esteem, I'm not really into all that, to be honest with you. Okay? And I don't think you'll find the Bible talking positively about that either. So let's look at it. We need to shrink. Look at him. Come on, let's do him again. Look at him. Come on, we need to what? Boom, one more time. Can we see it? Because that's work that makes that happen. Come on, make him shrink. What? How many of you either know somebody or you've known somebody that's so full of themselves you cannot stand to be around them? Can I see your hand? They walk in the room and you want to go the other way, say. And that's what makes it even sicker if they're spiritual people. Say. They're full of themselves. They're full of bull. And they want to tell me how to live my life? That's the church. I'm telling you. It'll kill a church if we got that kind of mess going on. We need to shrink. Let's look at it. Here we go. Come on. We got five things. If you want to jot them down, they'll also be on the internet, the web. You can go pick these up tomorrow. They'll be right there for you. Number one, how do I shrink, Pastor? This is from Dr. Paul, not Dr. Gary here. Dr. Paul, how do you do it? Number one, would you say that? Get small. What do I mean? Look at Paul's writings. I'm talking about a humble mind. A humble mind. Let nothing be done through strife or what? Vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. If I am going to shrink, it begins with me having a spirit of humility and humbling myself. You saw Paul down on the road, right? Say, y'all saw him? Struck down on the road. That's a great position for you and I to find ourselves in, on the floor, flat before God. Flat. Flat out. You're God, I'm not. You're Lord, I'm servant. That kind of mindset, that's where it all starts. If you want to learn how to get, how you want to shrink. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness. Say that with me. Humbleness of what? Oh, this is going to help fix me. It is. How many, when somebody, you know somebody who's humble, they're a servant, they're kind, and you see them coming and you can't stand them. You just got to get out of their way because they make you sick. No hands up on that one. Amen? That kind spirit, that humble spirit, that sweet spirit, that lowly spirit, that's where we start if we're going to get our mind fixed. Amen? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He'll lift you up. He said, basically in Scripture, the proud He rejects, the humble He accepts. As long as He'll let you have the big head your whole Christian life. Oh, look at me, Mr. Christian. He'll let you live your whole life like that, being useless to His kingdom. But if you want to serve Him, that head's got to come down. Amen? Keep looking. Let's look. Come on, hang in here with me. So number one is do what? If I want to shrink, I got to do what? Get small. Number two, we got to get what? Serious. If you want help with your mind, you've got to get serious. Look at what the Bible said. All writings from this man, Paul, who knows what he's talking about. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Assume your position, humility, a servant. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, say it with me, by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need a renewed mind. The Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We need to get serious. Okay? I can't renew your mind for you. Wouldn't that be cool? And that's what a lot of Christians think. I'll go to church. All right. Stick my head in. Nah, why? I can't figure out why I ain't better. You're going to hear talks like this at church, which is going to inspire you and encourage you, kick you in the tail, to get serious about your life. Sunday afternoon, back around to Sunday morning when I see you again. Get serious. Get in the Word of God. How many knows there's crap and filth and trash in your head? Can I see your hands? Okay, here's how you get it out. That Bible. Renewing that mind. Instead of arguing with God, you get on the ground, humble. I'm wrong, you're right. I'm servant, you're Lord. Your book is right, my head is wrong. You just keep doing that. You just keep doing that. You just keep doing that. Well, that's hard. Yeah, it takes somebody to be serious if they go get their crazy head straightened out. Get serious, man. Renew your mind daily. Memorize Scripture. It'll help you. Change it. Number three. By the way, if you always do what you've always done, then you'll always be what you've always... That's a verse they use. That's a little saying they use at actual rehabs, working with people who are drugs and alcohol. Okay? And that's, is that the truth or what? You got to get serious. If you want, if you're going to keep doing what you've always done, don't expect to be something different. Amen? Get serious. Number one, help me again. Now, let's see if I can remember it. Number one, get what? Small. Number two, get what? Serious. Number three, and we're flying. Here we go. Get submitted. These are my S's. I had to come up with them best I could. Here we go. A submitted mind. Philippians, Paul writing, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Look at this. But he made himself of no what? Took upon him the form of a what? He was made in the likeness of men. We need a submitted mind. What do I mean? We need the mind of Christ. We need to submit. Here's what I need to do. Gary, your mind is crazy. Your mind screwed up. You need to submit your mind to Christ's mind. And I thought when I was arranging this in order, I should put that one first. And I thought, no. I've seen a lot of Christians do that. Oh, I will get me the mind of Jesus. But they're not humble, and they're not serious, and they do the 360, the hokey pokey, and they're out the door. So I arranged it this way. Get humble. Get small. Two, get serious. And then try to work on that mind of Jesus stuff. Amen? Let this mind. What does that mean? Here's what that means. Mind of Christ. Here's what that means to me. Jesus, if you said it, I'm going to do it. Okay? If it's in your word and you said it, I'm going to do it. If it's in your word and somebody else said it and they're under inspiration to give me the word of God, then I'm going to do what they say. I'm going to submit my mind to you and to your word and to your authority. Does that make sense to anybody in the house? I'm not saying you're always going to do it. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. But I'm saying as you submit your mind to the mind of Christ. For example, I mean, you can do... we could go down the whole list here. I mean, there's so many decisions that you make, and you would make them opposite of what the Bible would say. Amen? You would choose this path. The Bible says choose this path. So here's what you do. You choose this path. And you start submitting. Well, I think this, and I think that. Shut up. What does he think? Well, he thinks this. Do that. Amen? Number four. Get sight. Get sight. Best I could come up with. A focused mind. So wait a minute. I get small. I get serious. I get submitted to the mind of Christ. And now I start zeroing in on things that are right. I start getting my sights set on things above, good things, right things. Here's a verse, two verses, and one specifically, verse 8, that my wife gave me years ago because she knew her husband was crazy. She doesn't like me to say this, but you're the one that gave me the verse. Okay? She says, you ought not say you're crazy in front of people. I am. Here we go. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And she gave me this verse, and Roger saw it the other day sitting in my office behind my desk. I look at it often. It's years ago, it's faded. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, help me, think on these things. How much better off would we be if we did that? Say. Amen? So often it's a verse we put behind our desk and we think we can read the verse and make it happen. Don't forget, small, serious, submitted. Oh, now I can see. Amen? Here's the last one. Get what? Strong. That's the goal. Don't you want a strong mind instead of a feeble mind? Don't you want, when the enemy brings thoughts into your mind and your head that's screwing you up, don't you want to be able to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might? Isn't that awesome, say? Isn't that what you want? A mature mind. Philippians 3:15. Let us therefore, can you say this with me? As many as be perfect, be thus minded. That word perfect is the King James English. Many of your Bibles, if you use a different one, would be the word mature. Strong. As many as be mature, be thus minded. That's the goal. God wants you to be able to get on your feet, not have that childish mind, that carnal mind, that corrupt mind, that warring mind, that earthly mind. He wants you to be able to be on your feet, to be strong, be able to get out, be able to talk to people, be able to make decisions, do the right thing. That brings Him glory, because everybody else is going to know you used to be a nut. And look at you now. Look, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Look at me now. Isn't that, wouldn't that be great? Say, you can do it. Go ahead. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. Paul speaking. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, say it with me. I put away childish. What's that talking about? Little rattles and toys? No. It's talking about little rattles you got up here. How many would agree in the room today, Pastor, there's things in my mind that should be put away? Can I see your hand? It should be put away. Amen. Dr. Paul. Shrink. Now we're going to do a little exercise. Are y'all ready? A little exercise. Watch it. Watch him and watch the cross. Watch the cross and watch him. Here we go. Would you say these with me? Every one of them. I will humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Okay, he's getting a little closer. Help me. I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I will submit myself to the mind of Christ. Come on, buddy, you can do it. I will focus my sight on things that are right. Come on, buddy, go all the way. I will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There was another disciple, there was another man, I think it was John the Baptist, I could be wrong, but I think it was John the Baptist, that said this. I will decrease so Jesus Christ may increase in my life. That's what shrink's all about. Amen? Less of you, more of Him. Less of me, more of Him. The more I do that, the closer I get to that cross. And the goal is, one day, when people look at me, they don't see me. Who am I anyway? Look through me. Look past me. And who do you see? I hope you see Christ. I hope you see somebody that changed my life. Amen? That's the goal.